Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
Well, hey, as you're having a seat, this is the increase of God in our relationships.
Yes, so we are going to dive in to the third verse of Psalms 128. So if you got your Bibles, who has your Bible today? You came to church not to be entertained, not to be coaxed into believing something, but to understand that what you're learning today is the truth of God's word. And I was just reading this morning in the Bible, and he said, if you want to live a long life, just listen to my commands. And it's that simple.
There it is.
And so I believe that God is teaching us how to live life beautifully. And so this is the increase of God in our relationships. We're going to be talking about all different types of relationships throughout this part of the series. And so, Pastor Dan, do you want to read the verse and then we'll get into it?
Psalm 128, starting in verse number 1, if I can just rewind your thinking a bit, says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Remember, we said that if we're going to have a successful life, we've got to do what God says. And that brings the blessing of God, which is the capacity to succeed. Verse 2 says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. And we already talked about our work. We talked about our finances these last times we were together. But now I want to launch into verse number 3. And I don't want to go very far into verse number 3. I just want to read the first two words. Notice it says, your wife. Now, I know that for the ladies, you're not going to have a wife, okay? That biblically, that does not compute, okay? But the thing is that really what it's talking about is our relationships. That there's going to be something that takes place as the blessing of God comes on our life. There's going to be people around us. But in order to have a wife, you have to get married. Is that true? Now, in our day and age, there have been people that I've talked to that have been talking to me, and they've been telling me about their lives and about their family, that sort of thing, then my wife, my husband, this and that. And I'll say, oh, when did you guys get married? Oh, no, we never got married. And I need to just break it to you. You're not married then. You don't have a husband or a wife. If you never had a covenant relationship, if you never had that moment of marriage before God that says, hey, we're committed lifelong to one another, that's not a marriage. That's cohabitating. That's a great friendship. That's a partnership, if you will. And I've heard a lot of people say my partner, and that could mean a number of different things in this day and age. But I want to just define marriage because God defines marriage for us. God is the author of marriage. In fact, the Bible begins and ends with a marriage. From beginning to end, and it's a picture of Christ in the church. And that's why this is so important for us as Christians to define what marriage is. Marriage simply is this, it is one man and one woman. Now I have to stop right there for a second because people are crazy in our day and age, aren't they? And here it really is one biological man and one biological woman. Yes. Yep. As one flesh in covenant for a lifetime. That's why when we say till death do us part in our wedding vows, what are we saying? We're saying this is for life. This is something that only death can separate. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And therefore, we're saying it's one biological man, one biological woman, one flesh for one lifetime. That there is a covenant. That's the closest, most solemn and sacred of all agreements. Now, before we talk about marriage, though, because we're going to get into that, we're going to do a whole series on that as we go into it. Today, we wanted to focus on what happens before marriage, because there's a lot of people in the church and a lot of people in our society that aren't living the married life. They want to be married. They don't want to be married. They're living a single life. And this is a large part of the church. In fact, let me just see how many single people we got in the building today. Okay. All right. Hey, you're going to love today. Now, for all the rest of the married people, you might be thinking, dang it, I should have gone to that other church today with my kids, or I should have went. So listen, God's going to speak to you today if you're listening.
Well, you probably have kids that you're going to have to lead them through this.
Yep.
You have family members that are single. You have work coworkers. And so we need to understand what God says about his word for the entirety of all of our lives and every season of our life. So that's why we all can learn from the marriage series. We all can learn from being the single series. We could all learn from all of it.
Yep.
Because the Bible is never wasted.
That's so true. And beyond that, even if we're talking about being single, if we're talking about finances, God has the ability through his word to talk to you about your life right where you're at. You might be married, and then today in a message about being single, God speaks to you about your marriage. You might be, not even thinking about getting married, and yet God might be speaking to you about holiness through this message today. If you're listening, God is going to talk to you about your life. Now, there's many walks of life for single people. First, we need to debunk a myth, though, that being single is a bad thing. lot of times people think, well, I'm single and I'm second class. Not true. Nowhere in the Bible does it say being single is second class. In fact, the Bible says it's a blessing.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's amazing when you think about it. There are some people that God has called to celibacy. In fact, the Apostle Paul speaks boldly about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 7, in the New Living Translation, the Apostle writes this. And remember, this is the great Apostle Paul. Saw the Lord Jesus, had a special visitation. Here's the one born out of time. Here's the one wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. This is a great and mighty man of God. And what does he say? He says, but I wish everyone were single. Hold up, what? I wish everyone were single. Just as I am. This was not a married man. So for those of you who think that second class is being single, not true. The Apostle Paul was a single man and said, I wish everybody was like me. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Notice that marriage is a gift, but also being single is a gift. Now, there's several notable single people in the Bible who were leaders and who were also successful. Paul the Apostle, John the Baptist, we never hear about him getting married. Great and mighty man of God. No greater prophet than John the Baptist, born among men before the kingdom of God. Wow. How about Jeremiah the prophet? Never hear about his wife. You hear about Isaiah's wife, but you don't hear about Jeremiah. And yet he was a mighty man of God, called from God from his mother's womb. Four daughters of Philip that prophesied. Oh my goodness, these little ladies, man, they were single and loving it. They were having a good time in the church, preaching the word of God. How about Mary Magdalene? History tells us that after Jesus ascended, that she lived alone. She lived a single life of purity and devotion to God. How about the most notable one of them all? Jesus. Jesus never got married. He said, well, he's God. He was also a man in the flesh. And he never got married. He lived a single life, and his life impacts all of humanity. Wow. Now, there's more, but you get the point. Now, Jesus, he did say something about being single, and he did say something about celibacy. And it's an interesting way that he said it, because he talks about the eunuchs. I'm not going to go there. You can look it up on your own. But he said that there are people who were born that way, people who were made that way by man, and some people who chose to be that way. And this speaks to things, because sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I have desires that are outside of biblical marriage. What do I do with those desires? I was born this way. Now, sometimes people will say, no, you weren't. That's not true, this and that. I believe that we are all born with a propensity in our lives. There are propensities for sinful behaviors and fleshly behaviors and desires that are contrary to what we see in the Word of God. So I would agree. If you say, hey, I was born this way, I'd say, yeah, probably you were. I don't know. I don't struggle with that, but my heart goes out to you if you do. And Jesus said that you can actually choose to live a celibate, single life in devotion to God, and that's something good before God. That's something honorable. He says other people were made this way. And really what he's talking about is the eunuchs in kingdoms. Oftentimes the kings would castrate the eunuchs that were coming into their courts because they didn't want them getting with their harem or their wives. And so some people were made that way. Might have been that something happened to you in life. Might have been that there was some trauma. Maybe something happened to you physically, mentally, emotionally. There might have been abuse, that sort of a thing. And you choose because of that to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to live a single life. And once again, God says that's honorable. Or how about this? Some people choose it. Sometimes people just make a choice to say, you know what? The Apostle Paul wants everyone to be just as he is. There's benefits, there's a blessing here. I'm going to choose to be single, whether there's sinful passions that are associated with that or not. It might just be that your devotion to God is so strong that you say, you know what? I want to live life that is just focused on God. And the Apostle Paul said, for marriage, on the other side of that, some people are weak in the flesh, and therefore they should get married. In fact, he says, better to marry than to burn with passion and lust. Now, that doesn't mean you rush into a marriage with the wrong person, but it does mean that if you recognize, hey, I'm not strong enough to be single, hello, then I'm going to look for a godly marriage and make sure to live a holy life before the Lord in that marriage, because that will be a gift in my life. It takes a strong person to be single. Yeah. Let me say it like that, because sometimes people think, man, I'm second class, I'm less. No, it takes a strong person to be single. And to be single and successful is really a gift. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. Same chapter, the Apostle Paul said, I wish everyone was single like I am. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. Notice in your thoughts and your actions, it's all God-directed and devoted. Verse 33, but a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. You know, guys, I'm thinking about the honey-do list. I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about taking care of her and protecting her and providing for her, that sort of a thing. And so my interests are on my earthly responsibilities. Not a bad thing, and yet he says when you compare that with being single, the single person could just be 100% devoted to God, whereas a married man is thinking about things that the single man is not. He goes on in the next verse and says this, verse 34, his interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit, but a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Notice he speaks to widowhood, he speaks to even divorcees, and says that this may be something that in your life was a hard and a harsh thing, a negative thing, and yet now you've been given a gift, that you can devote your time and your thinking and your efforts and abilities to the Lord. Verse 35, I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. Guys, listen, if you're divorced and you desire to get married again, there's no restriction on that. There's nothing wrong with that, having a godly marriage in your future. If you're a widow and you desire that, nothing wrong with that. But he says, I'm not putting restrictions on you. He says, I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. For some of us, that means I need to get married because I'm distracted by my fleshly desires. Others, it means I want to stay single because I don't want to be distracted with the cares and the responsibilities of this life.
And some of you that are single do desire and long to be married. You know, this is not a bad desire. And you're going, I don't know what's happening. I feel like I'm left behind. But God actually created and put in us to desire each other. I mean, he said to Adam, it is not good for you to be alone. And he created Eve for him. And so these desires are very natural. They're very good, and they are given by God. And so if you are desiring to be married and you're not married yet, that's okay. Christine Bevere wrote in her book, Future Husband, Present Prayers, if you want a good book to read if you're single, your desire for marriage must be pure in nature and patient in timing. I'll say it again. Your desire for marriage must be pure in nature and patient in timing. You see, the waiting part of this journey is definitely gonna be a faith walk. It's a place and a time where discouragement and hope can come and rob your heart's joy. You can say, I don't know when this is gonna happen, and there's no good men out there. Oh, I've heard that. And I'll be like, what about, you know, have you met anybody at church? There's no good people at church, you know? And I'm thinking, well, maybe you're not the good person. You know, maybe we need to really look at this and go, you know, we got to change the speech of what we're saying about the circumstances that surround us. There is power in our words. And when we say that there's nobody out there and I don't think God has my back and I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life, you know, you become Eeyore in the single world. And I want to tell you, change your perspective.
And that might be where there's no guys looking at you because they hear your words.
Yeah, they do. They look at that, right? Right? And you've said, oh, well, you know, everybody else is getting married. I don't think there's anybody out there for me. And I understand the discouragement of this. There's been many young women and young men. We used to run the young adults ministry, and we still hear it all the time. People come and talk to us all the time. Is there anyone out there, Pastor? It's so hard. I mean, I get on Tinder, and it's horrible. And then I go on the Christian dating services, and I go on these crazy dates. These people are not Christians. They're psychotics. And it's a dangerous world out there, and they're scared, and yet you desire to be married, but you're like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And I do want to say this to the young men. You know, God says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I've always told my girl, listen, you don't need to be running after no man. He needs to find you. You're a gift. You're the prize. And so, young gentlemen, right? Amen. You need to hear that. So to the gentlemen out there, this is the response I get from the young girls. Well, they don't ask. The men don't ask. I've heard so many times, oh, well, you're going to be like the best wife. You're going to be the best. But nobody asks me.
So gentlemen, it's time to grow up.
It's time.
Time
but
to
I can
take
see
courage.
The pressure of wanting to be married as a young man, but yet maybe I don't have a job that can carry or sustain a marriage, and I understand the pressures of that. So there's pressures on both sides. But in that patient waiting and that time of waiting, we want to encourage your heart not to get discouraged, because discouragement will rob you of God's joy, will rob you of God's what he's doing inside of you. God is building something inside of your inner man. And if you get close to God in that time of waiting, he's gonna do something supernaturally in you. God wants you to know the truth. God wants you to know for sure who you are. Because you can't be a broken person and then find another broken person and you two get together and you have a very broken marriage. But if God does something in you as a single person and begins to heal you and restore you and reconcile your life back together, and then you meet someone else, guess what happens? Then you have a supernatural marriage. You don't want a bad marriage. You want a God marriage. Yeah. And so, amen. And so what we got to do is we got to understand that while we are Christians, how do we be Christians that are single in this world? You know, can I encourage you not to get on to, you know, AI or ChatGPT or Instagram or TikTok and look at the greatest followers and you type in the questions like this, like, how do I find somebody? How do I meet somebody? Because you're going to get a plethora of wrong advice. What about in a relationship or a situationship, or how do I handle soul ties? Don't
hold
be
on,
asking
hold
the
on.
Internet about that.
Real quick, because, you know, being the age that we are now, we didn't even know what a situationship was. And so we had to look this up online to figure that out. We asked our nephew when he started talking about it, and we were, what? A situationship. And we were like, I don't even understand what that is. And in the Christian realm, they just say that there's ambiguity and you don't really define what it is. And so you're just kind of together and then you're not, but you're talking, but you know, you don't really know where you stand. In the world, when we looked it up, there was also sexual connotations that went with that. Almost like what we used to call friends with benefits. And it was just kind of like, but there's this intense emotional connection that was associated with that, which in the Christian world, and in the biblical sense, that when the Apostle Paul says, he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one flesh with her, that sexual intimacy and relationship will create...
Because it creates a soul tie.
That soul tie, that yes. There's that intimacy that's there. And it's very hard to break in the spirit if you don't pray and you're not repentant and that sort of a thing. And so in the world, they're talking about these soul ties as well. But they're saying, oh, it can happen just because of your intense passion and longing, or by magic. And so they were like, light a candle, maybe it'll happen. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. And see, that's where Christians, if we read what the internet has to say, we're going to end up in demonic practices, not understanding that the more sexual partners you have, the more soul ties you have, the more you're going to be jacked up trying to come into a marriage, and there's going to be things that you need to deal with and break off of your life to be holy and healthy and moving forward. Remember, one man, one woman, one body, for one lifetime. We're not talking about multiple people in that relationship. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. You don't bring all that in. That's why sex before marriage was never God's intent. It was always meant for the confines of a covenant relationship.
And it will just bring you into confusion.
Yep.
So keep and guard your heart and your mind if you're single. You need to guard yourself. And so then how do you move into this dating world as a Christian, doing it God's way? Because I'm sure we've all learned the world's way. We were in the world and we were of the world until we met Jesus and we were reconciled and he freed us like we sang about today. And so now that I'm saved and now that I'm a Christian, how do I do this the right way?
It's a great question. The first thing you got to do is you got to look for God. Look for God in everything. Genesis 2:18, God was bringing all the animals before mankind, and Adam was naming all the animals, and it says that there was not a single helper comparable to Adam. Not one was found. That same word, we see it in Proverbs 18:22 that Pastor Jessica quoted, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, that word found isn't like I'm searching, I'm looking, I'm striving to find it. It really is that I was on the path, I tripped over something, and I looked over and, oh, look what I found. He who finds a wife. In other words, our search is not for the spouse. Our search in life, our aim and our goal in life is I'm looking to find God. And as I'm looking to find God at the right time, in the right way, God will bring me to the right person if that's his will and plan for my life. Now, there's many ways that this can happen, and you don't need to plan it for God. God, here's what I want. Lord, I want to go to church. I want to be worshiping. I want the crowd to part, and there I see my spouse, hands raised, a tear slowly trickling down their cheek. And right at that moment, we lock eyes, and we know it's God.
Well, girls, don't be looking for a guy with one eye open and one hand up.
I love it. Oh, man, that's great.
You need to look for a guy with both hands up and both eyes closed.
Somebody ought to post that. Praise the Lord. You could have been high school sweethearts, lifelong family friends, be set up by a mutual friend. Pastor Jess and I were set up by a mutual friend. And in our day, people were finding, now presently today, people are finding each other online. That's not out of the question. You might see a post or something like that, or through common interests, common events. The best way is in church. Why? Because there's good.
Volunteer.
Yeah, there's good and there's God. Guys, there might be good people out there, but you're not looking for good, you're looking for God. You understand? And the good sometimes can get in the way of what God actually wants for your life. And so we're not looking for just who's good, what are they, do they look nice, do they smell nice, do they got their finances, and all. Those are all wonderful, and you should think about those things, but look for God above all else. And this is where sometimes people get off because they say, well, pastor, he goes to church, he's a Christian, but his life's a mess. Again, look for God. Look for their passion for God. Look for their heart for God.
But can I just jump in real quick?
Don't settle.
Because I actually did date in the world, and then I never wanted to date anything like I had ever experienced in the world. So then I was radically saved for Christ, and I came to church, and I met this wonderful man of God, and I was like, oh, he's so nice, and he loves Jesus. He has to be the one. But every time I went on a date with him, I'm like, I feel nothing. There's nothing there. And finally, I had a mentor come to me and say, you know, just because he's a Christian doesn't mean he has to be the one for you. And so sometimes we think, oh, I feel bad because, you know, this has got to be better than what I used to date. No, you have to connect on a spiritual, emotional, and a physical level. You can't just, like, sacrifice, oh, well, I don't have to like this person because they're godly, because people do that. And so there are godly, wonderful people out there for each of you. Dan always says there's a lid for every pot. So
I got that from a very wise woman on the front row over there. So, yeah, lid for every pot. Isn't that right, Mom? So, praise the Lord. But, you know, don't force something that shouldn't be, is really what we're saying. Sometimes people force that because they want it to work so much. Oh, I know he's a drunk, but I think that I can change him, or I think God will change him. And just because you put God on it doesn't make it right. And you know, the other thing is, if there's something called missionary dating, don't do it.
They may not know what missionary dating
missionary
is. The young
dating
people
is,
may not
know
not what
a Christian,
that term means.
But I want to get them saved so that then it'll be right and we can bring them to church.
Well, you compromise your belief systems.
I've heard very few success stories with that. Very few. Okay? Most of the times it's a disaster and a tragedy story that I hear when it comes to missionary dating, because what ends up happening is that person will say, well, yes, I'll go to church with you. Yes, I'll become I'll walk the aisle and pray a prayer if that gets me into your bed. And that's most of the time what happens. It's alarming. Whoever had that alarm, you need to wake up. So don't force it. You know, the most attractive thing about my beautiful wife over here, that when I met her, was that she was in love with God more than she was looking for me. She was looking for God in her life. And for me, I had 2 weeks before I met her, I said, God, I'm going to be a bachelor to the rapture. I said, God, this is it. I'm single for the rest of my life. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I will travel the world. I'll tell someone about Jesus. God, I don't need a wife. I don't need none of that. God, here I am, holy and consecrated and ready to do your will. And 2 weeks later, God showed me this woman who was deeply in love with God. And I could not get her off of my mind. I was rebuking the devil. I was saying, get behind me, Satan. Get her out of my mind, God. I was taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. And yet she was always there. And we'd show up places and she'd be there. I'd go to a Christian concert. She'd be there. It was amazing.
But he never asked for my number, ever.
We don't have to tell this story.
No, I think we should. Men, ask. Okay, ask.
Be bold. I boldly asked my friend for her number.
Pastor Dan did not.
Gave her a
call. For a very long time.
I did call. I did.
Finally.
I finally did. It took a
little. Months later.
But because I was rebuking that, I was trying not to get with the girl.
And I'm over here like, forget him. I don't like him anyways.
And then when I called, she melted. Praise the Lord.
True, true. Touche. Okay. Well, I was a mess when Dan met me. I wasn't a mess because God had already healed me and worked years of just healing, his healing working power in my life. I was actually opposite of Dan. I was not a virgin when we met. I was a mess. I had been date raped. I had been, had two abortions. I was a hot, hot mess. Do I have any other messes in the room? I had been abused. I had been messed up, and I had every bad relationship there possibly could be. I was attracted to the wrong men over and over and over again. And yet God was like, listen, daughter, I need you to get alone, and I need you to learn who you are in me. And so he put me aside for a couple years. And so then it was, when I met Dan, it was almost weird because I got butterflies in my stomach again. And I was like, what is this? Like, and Dan, actually, I always like telling this side of the story because I think people put in their mind like who your checklist and what it needs to look like, and usually it's physical aspects. But let me just say this to you. Your checklist better have more God aspects than anything. And so I believe that the Lord brought Dan into my life because the Lord had really prompted in my heart while I was alone and single because I knew I would be married. And I began to pray for my husband. I began to pray for Dan. I didn't know him. And I was asking the Lord, God, if he's messing around, I pray you straighten him out right now. It's probably God was straightening me out, honestly, and not Dan. And
I needed some straightening out.
Yeah, a little. And so you still do, babe. No, I'm just kidding. That's what
True.
I'm here for. And so, and then I also prayed and I asked the Lord, God, I want a God who loves you more than he loves me. These were things I would pray for him. I'd pray that the Lord would bless him and that he would put a desire in him to want the things of God. I prayed that he would be a good husband. I prayed that he'd be a good father because I wanted children. I mean, I literally prayed these things over Dan, and I'm not kidding, God answered every prayer to the T when I began to pray the will of God for the man I didn't have. So stop praying, God, I hope she looks so hot and that she has a big butt and... No, guys, don't be stupid. Like, pray for God and the God dreams and the God heart of it, and God will answer those prayers. Those
are
beautiful
prayers.
Can I
interject something? Because sometimes we elevate the fleshly and the sexual aspect of marriage, and sometimes people say stupid things like, well, you won't even buy a car without kicking the tires and slamming the doors. Listen, you start kicking God's daughter and slamming God's daughter, you've got issues with her father. Okay, number one. Number two. Men can attest to this. If you're a female girl, it'll work, right? That's kind of just,
can we be real?
So the physical aspect isn't as important as maybe the world puts it out there to be. We
boys
need to make
boys.
Sure that we're mature and understanding that God created them male and female. And when he created the man, he said he was good. But when he created the female, he said, she's very good. And that when you find that wife, she can be your good thing, all right? And it'll work, okay? You don't have to worry about that stuff.
He told me today that he checked my butt out when we first saw each other at a concert. And I was like, we weren't even talking, you perv.
And I told her, listen, I am a Christian, and I was a Christian at that point, but I'm still a man. I still got to check. That's why I was rebuking the devil. I don't want to look.
Listen, can we be real? We're all human. He doesn't look at nobody now but me.
That's right.
All right. But really, truly, let's get back to seriousness.
Well, you know, I want to just say this. When you do get to that point of dating, we continue to look for God even in our dating relationship. We looked for God, and we were seeking God together. We prayed together. We loved the Lord together. We went to church together, all those things.
We asked God if we should even be together.
Yeah.
We actually fasted and prayed and separated. And then when we came back, I was like, you tell me what you heard, because if I tell you first, I don't want you to copy me. And so then he told me, and I was like, that's crazy. God told me the same thing. And so it was a beautiful journey of our faith together on our dating relationship, and then God married us, and it's been a beautiful journey.
And be looking for the fruit of the Spirit, because that's the fruit that's produced by God in us, right? The Holy Spirit in us will produce his fruit through us. If they're unkind... That's not
how do they treat waiters and waitresses at restaurants?
How do they treat
their moms and their dads? How do they treat their family members? These are things you got to look at.
Yeah, are they fruit of the Spirit? Are they patient? Are they kind? Are they generous? All those things. Is God being produced in it? Look for God in them. Second thing you got to do is look for faith. Now, this is different because we understand looking for God, but looking for faith, what does that mean? There may be things that you don't see eye to eye on in marriage. There's things that Jessica and I still to this day do not see eye to eye on. There might
because we're two individuals, but we're joined as one.
Yeah, and we've come into agreement on how we're going to live our lives, even though we may not agree on everything. But when I say look for faith, I'm talking about the basics that come from the Word of God, the Bible, the truths of God's Word. Things like doctrine. Are you in agreement on your doctrines? Because for us, one of the things as we were dating that we came into was that she comes from a charismatic Pentecostal background. I came from a conservative church background. She was concerned, is this guy going to be in agreement with me speaking in tongues? Is he going to be in agreement with women in ministry? Because I know I have a call on my life to proclaim the gospel. And if he has a problem with that, we're not compatible. See, it wasn't just that we believed in God. See, many times I've heard people say, well, they're of this religion or they're of this denomination, that sort of a thing. And it's okay because we're both Christians. Listen, you may both be Christians and you may both see each other in heaven, but if you don't agree on some certain foundational truths in your lives, even sometimes we call them the gray areas that they're not essential to salvation, they will impact your marriage. And they're going to impact the way that you live your faith out. And so you have to look for faith. You have to look for those things. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, let's stop there and just camp out on that for a second. That means if they're not a Christian now, they're not open to date, let alone marry.
Say it again.
If they're not a Christian now, they're not open to date, let alone to marry. But I'll bring him to church. We talk about this missionary thing, but I'll bring him to church, they'll get saved, and then we can be married. No. You're putting the cart before the horse. Treat them as an unbeliever. Let's look for them to get saved, and don't be, because you're not going to find God in them, and you're definitely not going to find faith. They're okay with me going to church. We'll just live together. Yeah, they are now. But once you get married, watch what happens, because everything in marriage intensifies. Your passion, your love for one another, but also your disagreements, your arguments. I mean, we can have some good fights. Praise the Lord.
Every little thing that bugs you about them only gets bigger.
It amplifies. It amplifies in marriage. So the Word of God is clear. And if you're dating someone who has an idea of God and calls themselves a Christian, but their life doesn't follow it, this is a red flag waving in your face. You got to look for faith. You got to look for the outcomes of faith. Same thing with people that might be of a Christian faith, but their expressions are different. You really need to look for their faith. Does it line up with the values that I have? Because certain things like even tithing, we taught on that in this church. If you love tithing and you've seen the blessings of it and they're saying, hey, why are you giving 10% of our money to God? Don't do that. You're gonna have an issue in your marriage. And so you have to be careful about this.
Yeah, I fell for Dan because he was in constant pursuit of God and his faith. It was Dan's faith that drew me to him. And so look for somebody who loves passionately the things of God that is going to help point you one day in a life of faith and consistency and coming together, because otherwise you're going to be the one dragging them along. And so many times on the woman's side of things, I hear women say, well, I'm the stronger one in my marriage. I'm the stronger one in this dating relationship. If they're dating, I'm like, that's a red flag. Do not move forward until he is solid. And so to the young men in this room, build your faith, build your relationship with Christ, learn what God says, what it means to be a man, not what the world is telling you, not what your culture has said to you, not what some TikToker or influencer said, but truly find out what God says to be a man. And if you don't have an example of a man in your life, you can come and meet with Pastor Dan, or you can come meet with Pastor Mario, or you can come meet with any of the men around this house. Find a mentor in the men's ministry. We have small groups. There's always avenues for you. I know the girls get connected with us women. We are talking on the PMs about what it means to be a woman. And so we're always addressing what our role is. But you as men, we're looking to you to be the leaders of our home. And one day, that's what God has called you to do. There's nothing to be afraid of. When you have the power of God in you, he's going to provide. He's going to give you what you need for it. And so I just want to commend you. Keep going. And remember to ask the girl. Okay. This brings us into when you are dating, how do you date with a godly relationship versus an ungodly relationship. Remember, I had all bad relationships. I never did them right before. And so when we met, Dan and I, it was like, whoa, we cannot go there. So how do we put boundaries on our relationships? Boundaries are a big deal. And I know the world talks about boundaries all the time, but you got to put some healthy, godly boundaries. Did you hear me? Godly boundaries.
I would say godly standards and
yes,
boundaries.
Yes, and standards in your dating relationship. That means I want to say this to you. When you hold a standard up, when you are living a certain way, and when you have a boundary, we're not going to cross this line, guess what happens? Then that person can't cross that line unless you let them. Yeah. You're the only one that can break your own standards and your own boundaries. And so, church, let's be real Christians that have some standards and some boundaries.
And I would say this, don't let anybody spiritually sounding say, well, we're not bound by the law any longer. We're no longer under the yoke of bondage that we have to have standards and boundaries. No. That again, they're wanting to get in your pants. So have some boundaries, have some standards. If that's what they're saying, listen, they're, again, red flag waving in your face.
Okay, so boundaries, what do these look like? Dan and I did this. We actually gave ourselves a curfew. I'm giving you guys some tips if you're dating. We gave ourselves a curfew. My dad used to say, nothing good happens after 10 p.m. at night. And honestly, he's right. And so what I did was I said, okay, 10 o'clock, we'll leave each other whenever we're done. And so we would be like, 10 o'clock. Now we would be like 10:05, 10:50. I'd be like, you gotta go. And so 10 o'clock was our boundary. That was, there were times we went out a little later, but we were in group settings, so we were never alone after that time. We actually made ourselves pray with each other when we left each other, because if we went too far and we got hot and heavy, we never ended up having sex, guys, but we did take things a little too far than I liked, and then he liked. And so we had to repent, right? And we had to be like, sorry, God, that we, like, got excited with each other. And so, and you have to talk to God about these things. And guess what happened? We didn't do that next time because that was embarrassing to talk to God about. And so we did that to ourselves on purpose.
Yep.
And we prayed every time.
And then we'd go home and take a cold shower. So a lot of cold showers.
I guess that's what guys have to do. Yeah. And we did not date alone.
Yeah. Let's put a picture up real quick of this is us dating.
That's not that, us.
No, this is us dating. There you go. Look at these two kids in love. Oh, my goodness. And I want you to notice something. This was before cell phones, so the picture was not taken like this. That means someone else had to take this picture. You know who that was?
My best friend.
Her best friend.
My third wheel.
And we had a third wheel with us all. See, single people sometimes, what is my value? Listen, you can help some dating people be pure and holy and be the one to take the picture of them, that sort of a thing. It helps. You can help someone because we needed that help. And I tell you, I paid for extra lunches. I paid for extra movie tickets.
I know. I'm sorry, babe. That was
it's okay.
Expensive.
Listen, it kept us pure because there wasn't nothing happening in the movie theater when your best friend was sitting on the other side. And then when her best friend was available, my best friend came. We tried to get our best friends together. That didn't work out. And so we just kind of kept them apart from each other. But we always had, most of the time, someone with us.
Yes, we did. And then the other thing we did is when we knew that we wanted to be married and we heard the voice of God for ourselves. Now listen, girls and gentlemen, when you meet each other and you're like, she's the one. God told me. Guess what happens, boys, when you tell a girl that? She is running out that first door she can find because if God did not tell her, you're a weirdo. Okay? So can I give you some tips? If you feel like the Lord is like, she's the one, don't tell her. Just patiently wait and get to know her and be kind and be a gentleman and show her the love of Jesus. And then one day when she's where you're at, then you could be like, I knew from the beginning because God spoke to my heart. And then that's a beautiful story. But don't, I mean, there are relationships that I've heard of where they're like, I know what our children's names are going to be. And they're like, what? I hate that name. No, you're really not the one. Like, so listen, don't say foolish things before they should happen, okay? Because that will make somebody run for the hills. So Dan and I had, once we knew we were going to be married, we had a short engagement. Why? Because we're Christians. We're sold out for Jesus. We were poor. We didn't have much, but we didn't care. We wanted to be together and not be in sin.
And we were tired of cold showers, so we needed to get married.
Yes. So we had a 6-month engagement once we knew, and people are like, but I want to be established. I want to have a house. I want to have a, listen, we had nothing. We were just two kids that got married, loved Jesus, and we paid our bills together. It was two incomes together. We had two jobs. We put it together, made it work. And guess what happened? God blessed us time and time again. And so sometimes you're going to just need to get married so you don't be in sin, and God is going to bless you because marriages are blessed. They are a covenant from God. There's a promise in it, and we will get into that when we get into marriage. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anybody named a brother who is sexually immoral or a covetousness or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even eat with such a person. Who are you dating? And who are you that somebody should date? Yeah. Are you this person? Repent. Get right with God so that God can bring you someone beautiful and special. Quit wasting time. Purity is hard in this world. It's very hard. And we're very human, and we have these desires and these natural things. They're not ungodly to have sexual desires because God gives us those sexual desires, but we have to put them under God and put them under the word of God. And so until we are married, we are not to have sex outside of marriage. Oh my gosh, that's shocking to say, but it's true. And so what do I do with these emotions and these feelings that I have? You bring them to the Lord and you say, God, help me. Help me to suppress this. God, take this desire from me so that I don't fall into sin, but God, I stay holy before you and I stay righteous before you.
We tell our children oftentimes, and especially when they've had like a you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that sort of a thing, we'll tell them, hey, don't awaken love before it's time. We get that from Song of Solomon, Song of Songs 8:4, a New Living Translation. Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right. And that's difficult to do in the world that we live in, that's over-sexualized, that's thrust in our faces. It's everywhere. It's in every movie. It's in every commercial. It's on every billboard. My goodness, there's stuff all over the place. It's on your social media. You don't even have to be looking for it, and it'll just pop up in your feed, and it tests you to see if you're going to like that. Problem is, especially with men, we're visual beings, and that excites us, and we take things where they don't need to go. And that's where we have to take captive those thoughts. We need to submit it to the Lord. We need to pray. And then we need to replace that with the word of God, declaring God's word over our lives, that I'm holy as he is holy, that I'm going to flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, peace, and love with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And take those passions and place them in their right position, that they're submitted to the Lord. And then within marriage, they're committed to a covenant relationship.
Well, and can we just talk really quick about porn? Okay, what's happening in the world right now is that there's so much pornography, and men and women are both addicted to it, so there's not one greater than the other. And it's caused so much, that is an open door for Satan to come into your life and actually come in and steal, kill, and destroy your life. And so that porn will become obsessive. And what's happening is people are satisfying themselves instead of desiring for the other person or even their spouse. It's ruining marriages because there's no sex in marriages anymore because they're satisfied by their pornography. And this is not pleasing to God. This is not the heart of God. This is not the desire of God. And so if you need prayer for to break off those addictions, after church we have prayer teams up here, and there's no shame. Let's just get right. Let's strip these evil things from our lives so that we can actually have hearts where we desire the right thing and we do things that are holy. The Bible says that they in the end times will become lovers of themselves. Wow, think about what that means. For all of you that can't, just figure it out yourself. It is not ideal for that to happen in a godly person, a godly man, and a godly woman. So God asks us to hold ourselves, to keep ourselves pure and holy until marriage. And in a marriage, it should be an undefiled bed. That means you don't bring somebody else into your marriage bed. Listen, if you're single, you don't go hunting down a married person. You don't go looking or DM somebody who has a husband or a wife. How dare you? Shame on you, especially if you're a Christian. And you will have to answer to God for that one day. Because that is a covenant, and you are coming between a covenant marriage.
And what God has joined together, let no man separate. So just remember that your passions are God-given, and they're for marriage. God gave you those desires, those passions, but they're meant for a place, and that's in marriage. So don't awaken these sexual desires prematurely in a relationship out of desire, infatuation, or lust. But wait on the Lord, trust God, and guard yourself, sustain yourself in his sustenance, in his grace and purity. Ask him to guard your ears. Ask him to guard your eyes. Get the scriptures on it. Be careful what you talk about. Again, boundaries. We're going to talk about these things. But yeah, you might talk about, well, hey, do you want kids? Do you not want kids? That's a great conversation to have. But what a not good dating conversation is, what positions do you like? And what do you think excites you? And that you're tempting yourself.
Don't go there.
You're playing with fire, and that's not going to get you anywhere good. Now, if you find yourself thinking about this and you're saying to yourself, it's so hard, though, I don't know if I can do this, or how about this? We've already crossed the line, so what's the point? You heard our testimony, guys. Even though we didn't have sex before marriage, there were nights that we had to go before the Lord and say, God, we're sorry. We took that too far, and we repent, and we're not going to do that again. We commit ourselves to you. So here's what you do. You start fresh. Purity won't always be perfect, but it can be godly with God's help, and that means that you repent, you confess it to the Lord, you lay it down at his feet, you confess it to one another, hey, I was wrong, please forgive me, that sort of thing. Ask God for forgiveness, and then make a commitment from that point forward to be pure. If you're living together, hey, do this, move out until you get married. We don't have the money to do that. Trust God. Find your family or a friend or someone that you can sleep on a couch. Get a tent and go to the KOA until you can go to the courthouse and get your marriage certificate. And then come to the church. We'll do an in-office wedding. We'll get you married. If you're going to stay together, if that's it, hey, if you know that you're to be together and it's godly and it's good and you're saved and you're headed towards the same direction and that sort of a thing, then do what you have to do, because if you commit it to God, then God will bless it and God will use it for his kingdom and his glory.
Amen. Purity comes from a conscious commitment of communication and conviction to God. So when you are consciously like, I am going to serve God with all my heart, and it's a standard like we talked about, then you're going to find purity doesn't become as hard, because the closer you get to God, the purer you get to be. Yeah. And the more that you leave God at arm's length, the more the enemy has room to come in and rob you of that. If you have messed up as a believer, listen, there is no condemnation under Christ. You need to come. You don't have to come to the altar and give your life to the Lord every time. What you can do is just simply pray, God, I hate that I've done this, and I know that I'm impure before you, and repent before God. Please forgive me, God. Lord, take these desires from me, because I don't want to be in disobedience to you. I don't want to be in sin against you. Sin and disobedience, guys, is actually rebellion, and rebellion comes out of the word witchcraft. Satan would love to trap us up in witchcraft. Satan would love to pervert our ideas and our minds. In fact, you just turn the TV on, it's right there in front of you. Most of the world lives in witchcraft. But we believers are living in freedom and the freedom of Christ. And so as a person dating, God has something good for you. God has a blessing for you. If you are in a committed relationship and you're headed towards marriage, start a conversation about boundaries. Okay, start this conversation in that season so that you can apply this also to all of your friendships with other persons of the opposite sex. How about situationships? I would just say get out of that. That's a toxic situation. And then I would say, and even in marriage, there has to be boundaries. In your marriages, you need to put some guidelines on internet. You need to put guidelines on movies and all of that. Make sure that you guys are communicating about what's happening in your marriage.
Yep. And we'll talk more about that in the marriage series as we move forward. But let me just recap for a second. Some people are meant to be single. That doesn't mean you're second class. That doesn't mean you're less than. It means that there's a gift that God has given to you. And my goodness, enjoy the season that you're in. Some people choose it for themselves, to devote themselves to the Lord. Others have had the choice made for them. But if you're desiring to be married and you're single, then my goodness, then it's going to take some time and it's going to take some things to look for. Look for God. Look for faith, and then have the godly standards and boundaries over your life. Amen? Let me pray for all of us. Father, we just take this time right now, and Lord, we commit and devote our heart and our lives to you. God, I thank you for all the single people in the place and online and those that are a part of our church, God. I pray that you bless them in this season that they're in, God. I thank you, Lord, it is a gift, God, that they have time to be with you and that they would look for you above looking for a partner, looking for what maybe they think they're missing, God. I thank you, Lord, that they will be satisfied and content with your presence in their lives, God, and that they'll devote themselves to doing your will. Those that are in dating relationships, maybe they're in a partnership, they might be together like we talked about and have kids already and be just looking forward on this journey. God, I thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation, God. I thank you, Father God, that you know where we're at and you know how to get us where we need to be, and that, God, you're leading your people in these relationships, God, towards healthy, godly marriages. I pray for those that are in the relationships that they shouldn't be in, God, that they make the hard choices, that they'd hear your voice and be courageous enough to do what they need to do to get out of that and to get into what it is that you have for them. Lord, I pray for those boundaries and those standards, God, from your word, Lord, that we would diligently do the things that you've called us to do, whether single or married, God, that we would walk in your ways and receive the blessing of God on our lives. In Jesus' name, we're all agreeing that we say, amen, amen. Hey, I want to take these last minutes of our time together. So I'm going to ask no one to get up and leave during this time. Church is not done just yet. Stay put, because your eternal life is at stake. I'm going to say that again because people are jumping up, and I understand we've got some leave early sections that are going to ministries and maybe have to get to work, but for the rest of you, stay seated right now because your eternal life is at stake. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen, I know that for some of you in this place, you've not yet surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. Yes, you've been to church. Maybe you've been raised in church. Yes, you know about the Bible. You know Bible stories. You might have been a good person and done a lot of good deeds. Maybe you got involved in church and sang in a choir or something like that, but you haven't yet surrendered all of your heart and life to Jesus. The Bible is clear. Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean do good deeds. That doesn't mean go to church. That doesn't mean memorize a Bible scripture. It means that you surrendered every part of your life to Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. Your sin is forgiven. Your past is cleansed, and you now have a future with God. And there are those of you in this place that you have not yet surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. And if you died, you'd die and you'd end up in hell. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. But more than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. And today, you can change destinies. Today, you don't have to die and go to hell. Today, my goodness, you can change course. And if you died, you could head for heaven. Because the Bible is clear, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can choose with our life while we're here on the earth where we end up, whether we go to hell or whether we go to heaven. It's your call. It's your choice. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And so I want to lead those of you in this place that are not right with God in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart, to make that confession, and you'll be born again, headed for heaven and denying hell. But I want to know who I'm praying with. And so in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear that pop on the microphone, I want you to just simply slip your hand in the air, acknowledging that you're going to pray that prayer with me today. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You say, but I'll be embarrassed. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. And that's a choice you can make. Or how about this? Make the choice to choose life today. Choose eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple confession that you believe with your heart and that you confess with your mouth. And I want to lead you in that prayer. And I want to know who you are when I count to three and pop my hand on this microphone. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of two? God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Today, make sure. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before, never given God all of your heart and life? I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm, half-hearted, or backslidden, and you need to repent and come back to the Lord. Today, you can do that. I'm going to count to three. Here we go. Get ready to get your hands up. You know who you are. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one, two. God bless you guys. There's three up on top. I got you in the back. Four up over here. Yes, I got you. And five. Yes, right next to them. Thank you. God bless you. Five wise people on this side. Six over here. Yes. God bless you. Seven up front. Got you. Anybody else real quick? You say, Pastor, you sound like you're selling knives at the county fair. No, no, no. I just want to make sure I get you right here where you're at. Give me a little wave if I don't see anybody else real quick. I'm looking. Oh, right up front. Gotcha. Thank you. God bless you. I think that's about eight. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure. Like I said, I want to lead you in that prayer, and so I want to invite you to the altars right now. Let's all stand and welcome them. If you raised your hand, you should raise your hand. Would you slip out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me right up here at the altar. Very special to pray at the altar. Just come on down right now. Come on, let's give them a hand, church. Let's encourage our new brothers and sisters as they come to pray and confess the Lord. Come on right now. Slip out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right here. Come on. Let's welcome them. Let's welcome them. Hallelujah. If you need to come, just come right now. Come on, even if you didn't raise your hand. Just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. From the foyer, from the family room, wherever you're at, front to back, left to right, just get out of your seat and come. Anybody else? Just come on out right now. Come on down. Make your way to the front. Slip out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front. Well, praise the Lord, you guys. We're so glad that you came. Like I said, I'm going to lead you in that prayer to invite Jesus in your heart to be born again, brand new. The past is washed away. The sin is gone. You're clean, and now you got a future with Jesus. Hey, they're still coming. Come on down. Awesome. Best decision. Best decision. I'm going to give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to repeat them out loud if you have the ability. If you mess up on some words, that's okay. It still sticks, all right? God's going to do the work in you because he sees your heart beyond what he hears from your words. So let's put our hearts on the Lord. Everybody's going to join in together just to encourage you, even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord. I want you to repeat this out loud together in faith. Everybody say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I repent, I turn from it, and I turn to you, Jesus. Forgive me, cleanse me of my past, and give me a future with you. For I believe that you are God's only begotten Son, that you came, you died, and were raised again to life just for me. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days, because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again, headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now listen, when I got saved, I was a teenager, gave my heart to the Lord, never looked back. God did some great things in my life, and I believe God's gonna do great things in your life from this point on as well. Wow. But I needed something. I needed a friend. The same friend that introduced me and my beautiful wife, he was the one that was my faith-filled friend. He was a friend in faith that just encouraged me, taught me some things out of the Bible and showed me some things, prayed with me. And we want to encourage you that same way. See this guy over here waving at you? This is Pastor Joel. He's a good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on, okay? He's supposed to take you right over there, introduce you to some wonderful people, some faith-filled friends who will stand by you in faith. Just encourage you. If you need a Bible, we'll give you one. And they want to encourage you to get back to church and hang out with us, all right? I want to encourage you guys, come back to church, all right? Next week, I want to see you, all right? Come show up. Shake my hand at the back door after church, all right? I'd love to get to know your name and be a part of the family with you guys, encourage you any way we can, all right? But keep coming. Next year, Father's Day weekend, it's your spiritual birthday, and you'll be like, wow, look at what God has done in my life because you stayed consistent and faithful in the things of God. So a couple minutes of your time with Pastor Joel, and then I'll let you go. Okay, make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Hallelujah. Well, hey, Rock family, we love you guys so much. Happy Father's Day once again to all the dads. Love you guys. We have a gift for you on the way out. There is a barbecue rub for you, all right? Because we know that men love meat. And, man, the girls want their backs rubbed, right? They want to massage. Men want to rub the meat. We want to barbecue. We want to grill, all right? So on your way out, that's our gift to you, absolutely free. And then tonight, 6 p.m., communion service. Be about an hour-long service, just communing with our Heavenly Father. Very special tonight, 6 p.m. I look forward to seeing you guys there tonight. Can you lift your hands to the Lord even online? Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Did you pray the prayer of salvation today? Hey, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Now, if you weren't able to make it back to the altar care rooms with our teams, we have a digital QR code that you can scan, which will give you access to download our discipleship material, I'm New, What Do I Do? While there's a lot happening here at The Rock and you can stay up to date with us, simply visit this QR code and that will take you to our calendar. Select the day that you're looking for to get a full list of what is happening here at The Rock. You can also visit our inner foyers and grab one of our newly released 2026 Rock Life magazines. Well, hey, Rock Church family, it was so fun today being in the presence of God with you. We're believing God for great things in your life, and we'll see you soon at one of our next services. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.